Greetings to the congregation. We're thankful for his blessing upon you and from that we gather today here to worship. Though many of us are going away, some of our youngster is in California, and some of us are sick. And tomorrow, our youth will come back. And we're thankful that you are here. We also greet those who worship at home through live stream. The congregation in our life, we are worried about now. We have a joyful life, a happiness life, to have a good health. We have freedom, but few pay to have a meaningful life, pay attention to a meaningful life. And the Word of God encourages us how we find a meaningful life. A meaningful life means a life would follow the purpose the Lord has for you. And the key verse, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This is the program, a plan for those who put faith in the Lord, even before the creation of the world. He would love to, in Christ, you become sanctified, nothing blameless. Blameless, that in any part of our life, we will have to be blameless. How we have this life that is blameless in God's sight. Here is in the military, William Miller in World War II. He's in the army. He's a captain. And in a battle with the English, they put a rocket, has exploded 2 feet from him. And that explosion wounded 3 of his men and killing another. But Miller survived without a scratch. After the war, it's just like a miracle to him. So he came to Christ in the mid-19th century with a Baptist church. This is a period of great revival in the churches of the Northeast USA. A great revival. It was a time when much the same as today. There was a keen interest in the prophecy of the Bible, especially concerning the return of Christ. After conversion, Miller immersed himself in the book of Daniel. And during the 14 years of study, and it is a Daniel is a prophecy about the end time of the Old Testament. It explains the plan and the events of this world during the end time. And he spent 14 years to study this book of Daniel. From 1840, as a pastor, he became a pastor, and Miller built a campaign for his own. He called an organization called Millerism in Massachusetts. And he has up to 500 followers to this Millerism of Mr. Miller. He wrote a book with the use as a teaching tool to his congregation. The book says, Evidence from Scripture and History of the Second Coming of Christ. And he announced Jesus Christ would return to earth sometime in 1843 or 1844. He eventually nailed down the date, which is October 22, 1844. On the morning of October 22, 1844, thousands of people gather on mountaintops and in churches. Others were in graveyards, planning to ascend in reunion with their departed loved ones. In Philadelphia, society ladies cluster together outside town to avoid entering God's kingdom amid the common crowd. When the day passed uneventfully, many Christians grew disillusioned because it didn't happen. The unsaved became cynical. The event became known as the Great Disappointment. And the event of October 22, 1844 is called the Great Disappointment. We condition. Why disappointment? Because they are hoping Jesus Christ return, but it didn't happen. That day is a great disappointment because they put hope, whatever the person uses mind to deduct, but that day is that didn't understand the Bible thoroughly about the end time. So Jonathan mind, before the creation of the world, we have been chosen in Christ. And that is something that we have to understand completely. We have been sanctified so that we will be blameless before the Lord. So that how do does our life to become meaningful and to become meaningful life before the Lord? It's nothing more than will we obey the word of God. And we have read together in 1 Peter. This is a reminder to the passage we read. And the reminder to the believer in Jerusalem. The end is near. Of what is it near? From there, more than 2,000 years has passed. Jesus has come. So, is what Peter said is false? Is in error? May the Lord guide us so that how we can understand the will of God, the way of the Lord for our lives is the days that are meaningful. Let's pray for guidance. Dear our loving Father, we give thanks to you because you have saved us from death and give our power to become your children. Not only God, also give us your words to encourage and help us how we can conduct our lives while we're still on the earth to according to the way that you created for a purpose, for the plan that you have entered into this world to save us. You sanctify us, Lord, so that we can become blameless before you. Besides you, we have no other way. Besides you, there is no way we can walk by our own efforts. So you guide us, Lord. And while there were opportunity to be taught by your word, to become sanctified, so that we can apply into our life, may we, of all of our heart, to obey your word. May you guide during this time and show us your truth. Help us from here until we see the Lord. We truly become blameless before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter has shown us there are few things that we can use to conduct our life in a meaningful. The first thing is to have a meaningful life, we need a prayerful lifestyle. The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind. In the Bible, all the letters in the New Testament has mentioned the last day. And even Jesus Christ has mentioned to express the event that must happen in the last days. In Romans chapter 13:12, Paul reminded, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Because we are facing Colossians, in Philippians chapter 4 verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. In James chapter 5 verse 8. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. And in 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. 2,000 years, many apostles have written talking about the events of the last day, but Jesus has not returned. Dear congregation, each believer is waiting for the day that Jesus returns, and the Bible said the creation is eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The creation waits in eager expectation. All the suffering will end. Peter recommends to us an attitude to wait for the day of our Lord. Expect the great expectancy. And when we examine the Word of God to know exact date of Jesus' return, the day and the hour, no one can know. Only the Father knows. We would not do like Lloyd Harris at Quaker in 1993 declare that Jesus will come and all the believers will go with the 54 adults perish and 28 children die in that event. We would not do like Carol Camping in California declared that in May 2011, Jesus would return. And finally, how many has lost the money because they sold the property in a hurry? Because they listened to a leader that does not know the Bible. Peter approaches. Wait for the Lord. With an attitude, we have to be in a sober of mind and be alert that you may pray before the Lord. A day before the Lord is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. Others compare the time that we have here with the eternity of the Lord. And this time is only a dot, while eternity is a great castle. And when Peter said, "Oh, the end of time is near," and this teaching is never old. Because John, during this time, he wrote that because there are many help. So, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, because John said this is the last hour because there are persecution of Christians at that time. And Peter encourages that the end of everything is near. Why? Because in the second letter, chapter 3, verse 7, you should not be pushed around by the evildoers. In any time frame, the darkness that we would destroy, trying to destroy our faith, it is the same as the Antichrist will destroy many faithfuls. And they have to pay with their own life to defend their faith. We have the opportunity to put our faith, to build our faith here. And Peter encourages. Regard this hour is near. How we have to be sober and alert. And that we may pray. A sober mind to pray, to recognize the relationship between us and the Lord. The prayer needs the relationship between us and God. So prayer should not be in a hurry. Or maybe we are too busy for prayer. The prayer cannot be according to our inspiration. Whenever we like, then we pray. Because we have no time for prayer. Prayer cannot be the unfervent, unfrequent. There's some pressure that we'll pray fervently, maybe because some pressure, some situation we find ourselves into. But when we have everything going our way, we would not consider prayer. Prayer must be a relationship that we have with the Lord. Jesus said, we have to be alert and sober mind, self-control. That means we pray because we love this relationship with the Lord. It's not because we have some need that we come to the Lord for prayer, or some situation is pushing us toward prayer. But no, because we love our Lord, we come to see the Lord in prayer. And because we have been created for a purpose, that is to be, God can communicate with us so that we maintain prayer regularly, just like we are living with a close person next to us, and every day we communicate with that person. And Peter said, the end of all things is near. It's not to make us afraid. But that Peter knows that the plan of God, that we can conduct our life in a meaningful way. One day, you and I, we end our life on this earth. Where will we be? Jesus will come to end, bring the end to this darkness in the world. This is something that will happen, for sure. And we live each day with the attitude that we are ready to welcome the day of the Lord. It could be in our lifetime or not. For another 1,000 years, we do not know. Our preparation is still the same. As we are still breathing and living, we can prepare for that day. There's a young person loving a life dedicated, praying to the Lord, and to be away from all the burden in this world, to be away from this friend that he is having. So he came to a monastery and asked to be part of that monastery. And the chief monk of the monastery accepted him right away. During the first few days, he observed the monks there. And sometimes there are prayer very long time. But afterward, the monks can work the field. Some is doing harvest. And there are so many work to do, different kind of work. And then this person felt disappointed. He came to the chief monastery and said, "Dear chief, I thought that the only thing here is to pray with the Lord. And why do I see all the other monks have to work so hard to satisfy the physical need?" And the chief monk smiled and said, "Maybe you are right. If you think that praying the work of the other is necessary, you don't have to do it. Just go to your room and pray and pray and pray in there." And then this person was very happy because he didn't have to work any other thing except to pray. So he entered the room, closed the door, and prayed. And after a few hours, he feels tired, and he feels hungry, and it's lunchtime, and he was waiting, and nobody come and knock on the door to call him up. And then he went to the chief monastery. "Dear chief, do you eat here? Do you have lunch here?" And the monastery said, "Oh, they already finished their lunch. why didn't nobody come and call me out for lunch? And the chief one said, well, this morning you came and you asked me. There's only one thing in this monastery, and this is prayer, right? I thought that everybody else have to work. So they have to work to rest. But you only pray with the angels. You don't work. You don't need to eat. All is prayer. And so I have told other monks not to disturb you. If our life understand the relation with the Lord, it's a time we kneel and pray and just to say a few words. That is not really prayer. Maybe we are asking something of the Lord. Or something, we present our suffering, our problems to the Lord. But prayer is a relation. That means not only we have the time to tell the Lord of our problems, to tell our problems, to ask for things, but we are inviting the Lord to participate in all activities of our life. That means prayer, that to seek the will of the Lord in all aspects of our life. So prayer must be a relationship between us and the Lord. And anybody who has that relationship with the Lord in all of activities of our life, then that person can find meaning in their life. Peter reminds us the second point. A meaningful life means that it's a responsible lifestyle. He said, in all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Martin Luther has said something like this. Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my little apple tree and pay my debt. And that means, though we know that the end is near, that can come to it, but today we still have to complete our responsibility. And it's not that because we are waiting for the return of God that we forfeit our responsibility in life. No. And some others said, we live and keep so that tomorrow the Lord will come. When we work, serve the Lord, it's just like God, Jesus, and others. And that means in the way we conduct our life, we are ready to answer as though the Lord will show up to come back tomorrow. So that we can be blameless, but in our service to the Lord, we have to work as though the Lord will never come. That's an attitude of service. To be all of our heart in serving the Lord. And Peter has shown us many other aspects of our responsibility. Verse 8. Above all, love one another deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Each of us know, we know how to love. But the love, Peter here, is not a love between a human and a human. This is the love of God, agape. We receive this love from the Lord, and now we treat others by that love that we have received from the Lord. And be above all, love one another deeply. And this is the kind of love that we do not have when we were born. We only receive that kind of love when we receive it from the Lord. So if somebody do not understand how to love them, and that kind of love would not understand and use it in our life. Love that Peter mentioned here, that is the fundamental of Christian. If we took the love out, then we would not have a good news of the Lord. Love deeply, that means we use the love that God has loved us. so that we can treat each other with that kind of love, to use that love to be concerned someone, although that person has no relationship with us or has no good term in good time with us, to use that love to serve as though working. When we do something according to our discernment, we're using the love in your life and mine. We have the life of Christ in our life, and we express that life throughout to others. So our life, the way we love, the way we live, the way we conduct our life, and because of that love, others to see Christ in us. There is the author named Oprah Winfrey, and on day she was on Greyhound bus from Flagstaff, Arizona to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And this was next to, she saw a young boy, a native boy, Native American, an Indian boy. And he was riding with her opa behind him. And he fell asleep. And he was so tired. And one time he woke up and he came and asked the driver for, has it come to the certain stop? And it's in a way, a stop along the way that he wanted to get off. And the driver said, we have passed that location for a long time. Why didn't you ask me to stop? The driver asked the little boy. And he was so sad. He returned around. He didn't know what to do. And he came back. The driver said, well, can you let me off here so that I can walk back to that location that we have passed? And the driver said, no, you can't. It's very cold outside. And we are very far away from the location you want to get up. And if you will die of cold there, you will freeze to death. Now, why don't you sit here and continue until the next stop, Albuquerque? And then afterward, you can take the bus from Albuquerque and go back to your original stop. And he was so worried. He went back to his seat. And then was asking him, are you worried? Can I do something to help you? And this young boy said, I don't know what to do. I've never been to Albuquerque. But moreover, I do not have enough money. If I went there and take another bus, I have no money to pay for that ticket. So I don't know what to do, he told Opal. And the Opal told the young boy, why don't you not to worry, sit here with me. When you get to Afri, I'm sure I will help you so that you can catch a bus from Albuquerque back to your original stop. And no one will charge you for it. I think that normally they would do that, but if they have to charge you, I will pay for you for the ticket. Then Opa went and talked to the driver to talk about the situation, saying to him that when we came to the next stop, could you help him to find the bus back to his original? And the driver agreed to do that. And Opa went back to the seat. And he said, everything is settled. Don't worry, he said to this little boy. And 10 more minutes passed. While in the stillness of the bus, somebody tapped on her shoulder. And he said, are you a Christian? Anybody ask us that question? Mr. Mrs., are you a Christian? He couldn't just tell about the gospel, by the Bible, by our knowledge, by certain documents. But we have to read we express the concrete way, by the way we conduct our life. When somebody will say, are you a Christian? Are you a children of God? Only when we treat each other with a deep love of Christ, so that we can express His love to others. The third point that Peter mentioned in the passage, in verse 9, treat each other with hospitality, verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without love. When we organize certain things, we invite other guests. It's very tiring to organize the events, but we do not grumble, because we do that. It's more normally, but the congregation. If the Lord put us facing to deal with someone we do not like, and we have to do something for that person, if we are arranged to do something that we do not like to do, then do we have the attitude of grumbling attitude because of something we do not want to do? And that occurs many, many times. But the Lord is trying to use our life. Our Jesus has left us a model before the Lord came to the cross. And in the high room, He humbled Him, washed the feet of His apostle. No one is doing what Jesus did to teach the apostle the lesson of humility. And Jesus said, what I have done for you, you can do this to others. To wash a feet with someone, but John, it's easy for Jesus to wash the feet, or to James. But Jesus came and washed the feet of Peter, knowing that that night he would deny the Lord three times. Is it easy to wash the feet of someone like that, who would betray Jesus? How about Judas? How easy it is, how difficult it is to wash the feet of Judas, who sold the Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. When Jesus wrote the wash of feet of Judas, knowing that Judas would betray him with 30 pieces of silver. And this is to wash the feet of someone, knowing that person's attitude, someone who be turning against us, is very easy. But Jesus did not come back. He continued to wash the feet of all His apostles. And He spoke that the apostle can learn the lesson of humility as modeled by Jesus. So how do we treat people that we don't like, facing the work that we do not want to do? But Peter said, offer hospitality without grumble. We grumble because we complain about the job by the person, but because of His love for ourselves, the responsibility that we receive, though maybe something we do not want to do, or the person we have to deal with is someone we do not like. But we will work without grumbling to offer each other hospitality. The third point, Peter said, and everyone should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Someone always have, everyone wants to have some kind of a gift. If I know how to play an instrument, I'll play in the worship team. If I know how to decorate, I will help to decorate the sanctuary. Are we waiting these kind of gifts to serve the Lord? Yes, we have to go after or ask the Lord for a gift. But there is one more thing that is more important. Not just the gift, but that is a steward of these gifts. With the gifts, but we work as a steward. A good steward means what? A good steward means that one can work, and that work with according to the will of the master, not our. A steward according to obedience is the good steward. When we have some capability to serve, and the problem is, do we have used this gift as though a good steward or not? And cause it, the steward, to oversee different gifts given to us. Maybe we have a certain gift, but we only do a certain kind of gift. And other part, maybe other can perform the duties. But whatever we receive to serve, the gift that we receive is to serve. And so that we have to become a good steward, meaning whatever the Lord give us, it's not wasted. It has a purpose when we receive these gifts from the Lord. And so we know, have to know how to manage the gifts that we receive from the Lord. When we serve others, we will be served. And that is the principle that we have been taught through the Word. One day, someone is screaming. He was captured into a jail. And during this jail, there are two rooms. He walked through. And both of them, one side is very strange. The one on the left is very healthy and good health. But the one on the right, on his right, he saw is very skinny and unhealthy. And he was surprised and asked the master of the jail, said, are they feeding different food? Why is it healthy on one side and skinny on the other side? And the jail master said, no. All the food, the policy is everybody receives the same kind of food. But why is the difference like that? And when the meal time comes, he showed this person, the master just said, showed them. And he saw when the food came and everybody got a chopstick. It's not a normal chopstick. It's a very long chopstick. And the policy is you must eat with this kind of chopstick. And the one on the left, the one said they use the chopstick to feed the other. And then it's exchanged, turn around. They use that long chopstick to feed the other. On the other side, they try to use the chopstick to feed themselves individually. And they couldn't eat much food. And that's why the healthy ones on the other side is helping each other eat. When we have the gifts, there is a way, method to use those gifts. So to be a good steward, we have to know how to use those capabilities that we receive from the Lord, so that we can serve our brother and sister. In verse 11, if anyone speak, they should do so as one who speak the very words of God. If anyone serve, they should do so with the strength God provides. Why did Peter tell us about a speaker and a server? Peter wants to tell us something here. And this is the thing that Peter said, is that to speak and serve is always following each other. To preach the word of God and serve, that is the two different sides of the same coin. To preach, that means to serve with words. To serve, that means to preach by action. We should not teach when we don't have the attitude of service. Do not serve if that service does not reflect the word of God. And so, your life and mine, in all aspects, in all of our work, we have to know how to manage what God gives to us. And to manage as good steward at least what we do, and bring the benefits to others. Not just for ourselves. The, our own account. Of course, we will have benefit, but that's not the purpose. The purpose, the service, is that we can respect others more than us, that we serve others, so that others can earn the benefits of the service. And the Lord will use others to bless us, so that that's the way we manage our gifts. When we live selfishly, when we live concerned with our own benefit, then others we would not take it because we do not dare to pay the price, because we only cause the result for our own self, and that is not part of a lifestyle of responsibility. We have to serve others, and then the Lord will use others to serve us. The third point, to become a meaningful life, is a life praising God. And Peter said, in all things, to him, if anyone serve, that in all things God may praise through Jesus Christ, to him be glory and the power ever. So, whatever the time we live, that it doesn't matter when Jesus will return. Though we may have some position of service, we have to remember the meaning of life that I have been created to praise our God the Creator. What we have done, He does it, so that in all things, God will be praised through Jesus Christ. Not only part, but all aspects of our life, all things, in all our activities, the Lord must be glorified through Jesus Christ. That Jesus is living in our heart, so that our life, just like, is a song that we sing. Others must see Christ through us. We do not just bring the Jesus Christ from the Bible, not just in Christ in our knowledge, but we have to show others that Christ is in our life, the way of life that we have. Christ must be shown. And in the a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The salt has saltiness in it. The light has the shining part of it. And so we are the salt. That we must lose the saltiness. What happened? Just like something can be thrown away into the trash. If the light that has no light in it, it's useless kind of light. And so your light must shine before others. That, for what? That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's the reason the Lord has chosen each one of us, put us in this world, so that the glory, the shine of light of our life can be shined, so that others can see Father and glorify the Father in heaven. And Paul also encouraged the people, believers in Corinthians. So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The life of praising God is not just something to participate in the activities. That's not just praising, or we participate in religious activities, then I'm praising God that way. But praising God means is a way of life that others can see God is in us, and they will praise the Father because of that. Many were proud because we have done certain things. We have proud because of you, but the way of life has become a stumbling block. Then others will be afraid to come because of our way of life. In London, after World War II, the student was trying to help restore the different construction to restore. And there they find, they come to the church trying to restore, and they find a statue of Christ. And the words say, come to me. But the arms of this statue has been broken off. But now, how can the student there make sense of this statue? And these students trying to find a way to fix the statue. But now, how do we deal with the hands that are broken off? How do we restore that hands like just the original, what the statue meant to be? And they don't know how to do it themselves either. They are not experts in general. And finally, they came to the conclusion that why don't we put the inscription, just leave this there. Everything there, just put it as is. And then, and listen, I want to put the statue here and ask the Lord. And because we have no way to, but we have to put this in inscription. He has no hands, but he has our hands. And that touches many hearts. And everyone to see their heart, they would not see the Lord through documents in the church. But they will see God in our life because we have been created for the purpose that we are sanctified by the Lord in Christ so that others can see Christ in us. To see Christ in our life and return and praise God. Others must see Christ in our life. And this is the way that we conduct our life. This is what Pastor has teach to recognize a service. We should not ask how that person has died, but ask that how did he live his life? Do not ask someone how he served, how he has got much gather, but ask how much he has given out. We should not say the servant who how many degrees of heaven, how much knowledge he has, but ask that person how he served with what he knows. Should not ask a servant of God what position you have in the church, but ask that person how much disappointment you have reduced the suffering of others. Not to ask a servant, you serve in which church, but ask, do you follow Jesus to bring the love of Christ to others? So that they will know Christ. And the key verse for us. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his light. He has a purpose, a clearly purpose for you and me. That is so that we can be to reflect the life of Christ. So we ask ourselves, do have a life of meaning so that the day I will see Christ will be blameless. May the Lord bless you. May the word of the Lord register in your heart. Three aspects of a meaningful life. The first, our life to keep a prayerful lifestyle, the relationship we have with God. Do not let the busyness of life interfere with this relationship. Doesn't matter what reason it is. The second point is that the life of responsibility, love by the love that God gives us. We serve each other without grumbling, though many times difficult. We have to serve those who we do not like through the love of God. And then that we have to be a good steward of the Lord's resources. So our God must be praised in our lives, not because our name will be great and be recognized, but for the Lord be praised and glorified in us. In all that we have was for one purpose, unless otherwise there is no meaningful life in us. May the Lord give us the strength to serve. Let's all stand together and read this key verse. And hopefully we will be encouraged that we have been chosen. May the Lord help us to keep our purity and blameless until the day. Let's read together. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Let's pray. Dear our loving Father, you have saved us from sin to give us the position to be your children. The Word of God recommend and command us to cause a meaningful life in us, to walk in the right purpose that you have for us. Help our life to keep the sweet relationship with you, Lord. We would not regard prayer as just for asking, but the prayer is like a close relationship that we can talk to our God so that we can share our lives with her in any kind of time or in any situation. That relationship will never be broken. Please help us to have a life knowing our responsibility to treat each other in your love that we receive. And in that love, we can accept those who are unworthy of our service, that we accept those who can hurt us, that we can have our facility without grumbling, that we treat each other sweetness because we have been treated by the Lord. Help us, Lord, so that we express our love to others, that we can express the gifts that we receive and know how to manage as a good steward of your resources. That please let us have a life of praising to you, whether we drink or eat, whatever we do, wherever we go, we can show that we belong to the Lord. The one has been set apart so that we could not conform to this world. The way we live, the way we dress, the way we treat each other in all activities of life, that we would lose your glorification. May you give each one of us in return to hold fast to what we have learned, so that each one of us to become a blameless creature before you. We are thankful for the word, your word this morning. May we be blessed in your power so that we can carry out the command that you have given us until the day that we see you. We are thankful and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.